Hello everyone and welcome to my show, Fit Life, Healthy Mind and Body. My name is Natalia Katowska and I will be your host. This is the UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. With over 13 years of international experience in sport and fitness, years of study, I would like to share my experience, knowledge, and most importantly, my endless love and passion for living a healthy lifestyle for my mental and physical well-being. On this show, we will be talking about fitness, sport, healthy living, nutrition, fitness fads, and more. We will be answering your questions, we will have guest speakers, and what's most important, we will exercise together. Yes, you heard me right. In every episode, we will have a healthy dose of exercises that we will do together. So we won't just talk about fit life, we will actually experience the fit life together. Are you ready? Then let's go. So today I brought for you a subject about fitness, the future of our fitness and looking past COVID-19, very important subject. As we perhaps know, fitness industry have been affected the hardest by COVID-19. As the latest report from the International Health, Racket and Sport Club Association indicates, fitness industry revenue declined by more than 50% in 2020. As the strong growth of digital fitness revenues was far outweighed by the significant decline of traditional fitness membership fees and services. But while we expect the industry to rebound to pre-COVID-19 levels eventually, using in-person facilities will likely push a full recovery out to 2023 or 2024. And even once fitness reaches its pre-COVID levels, it will be based on a different mix of in-person and digital at-home activity. Today we have very, very special guest, David Cooper, who is a co-founder of the Antidote to Boring Gyms, the Gym Box. Very different, very special gym. Why? Let me tell you. So imagine this. It is 2023. There is only one style of gym. One size fits all kind of gym. So when an inspiring becomes normal, there is a problem. So there was only one option. Apple was born in garage and Gymbox was born in car park in the heart of West End. Gymbox replaced cars, bikes, and vans with nightly resident DJs, neon lights, and dancers. Gymbox reset the fitness industry. There was no other fitness space like this. Exercise blended perfectly with pleasure. You could be anyone you wanted to be any shape you happen to be. It was pure freedom to play and train in a way never seen before. It was simply just serious fun. Fast forward to now, Gymbox is a home to the most unique and diverse classes in London. Olympic-sized boxing ring, combat cages, world-class three-weight sections, live DJs and larger-than-life personal trainers. But alright, now more about my guest. More about David, who is extremely skilled in marketing strategy, fitness training, social media, personal training, nutrition, and more. From boxing background, car sales, to retail, to tree surgery and more, David's experience has benefited his diverse and exciting approach to what he's done with Gymbox and how it's affected UK fitness trends. David, welcome to the show. First and foremost, thank you so much, David, for taking some time from your busy schedule and being with us, UK Health Radio. 1.2 million listeners, mainly UK and USA. So
I think it's very relevant to what we're going to talk about, as I know that your gyms took a lot of inspiration from US market and you brought it to UK. So that's something I think it's very relevant. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing very, very well. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. So, David, I've done a little bit of an introduction about you, but if you could tell us a few words, who are you, what do you do, maybe a little bit of your sport background, so then our listeners can understand more of your presence here.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, I'm David Cooper. I'm sort of one of the co-founders of Gymbox. In terms of my background, I've got a kind of a varied background. In terms of sports, I dabbled in boxing for many years and martial arts, and then went the traditional gym route. I had aspirations of being better at boxing than I was. And one of the companies that used to sponsor me years ago was a gym chain. Uh-huh. And so what I did is once I came out of boxing, they gave me an opportunity then to start working with them. And that's how I got my sort of foot in the door into the fitness market.
Right. So you said boxing. Well, the reason why I'm asking, because I know you know, but I'm an amateur competitive boxer. And I think, if I'm correct to say that your family was into boxing quite a lot, right? Your grandfather, your father, am I right to say that?
Grandfather. My father being Welsh was obviously into rugby. Grandfather was a boxer. My mother's brothers were boxers as well. So yeah, I kind of followed that route. I did it slightly differently. I came in through sort of martial arts. I fought for some British titles in sort of traditional martial arts.
Tell us about the titles. We want to know.
Sorry. Originally it was a traditional, what is just called Wadaru Karate, and I fought for the British, what they call the UKKW title in Crystal Palace. So I won that for my weight category, which was under 80 kilograms. So I won that for 2 years running. And then I moved into kickboxing, and then I fought for what they call a WACO world title in Germany. I can say cheated now because no one will know, but in the final. So I lost in the final to an Italian. And that's when after that, I made the switch into boxing.
That's amazing. So can I assume that perhaps the name Gymbox has something to do with your boxing background?
No, well, actually, I mean, it wasn't that. I mean, that was by chance. You know, the guy that started the business, Richard Hilton, he was in America, as you sort of touched on earlier on, and he was going to gyms in America called Crunch Fitness. And obviously, we're talking sort of like 20 years ago now, but they were kind of very sort of irreverent brands. They did things very, very differently. You know, one day you'd have a drag queen teaching a class. Next day you'd have a professional boxer teaching a boxing class. And his view was, look, the UK market was very kind of vanilla, white walls, shiny floors, that sort of thing. And could we bring a British, when I say a British version or a British twist on that, a bit more gritty, a bit more sort of urban. And boxing played a big part of that, because I think, you know, when we started talking, gyms at that stage taught boxing in studios. And I think they were like boxer size classes. Mm-hmm. And what we decided was that if you go to a sort of traditional boxing clubs, the atmospheres are amazing. So if you can teach classes within Olympic sized boxing rings, it creates a totally different feeling for a class, for all the people getting up into those rings under the lights and teaching classes. So that played a part of making sure the product was credible. So it wasn't just about these sort of crazy classes, but also at its heart, credible fitness was at its heart.
Right. So I've done a little bit of, you know, introduction for our listeners about the Gymbox. But if you could tell in a few words, what is the Gymbox? Why people should choose the gym box and not other gyms? What's so different and unique about it?
Yeah, I mean, look, the concept behind it, the reason why we did it, like I said, we touched on the fact that, you know, that we were influenced by this brand in America. I don't think that would have worked so much over here. You know, we had to like sort of change a little bit to make it a bit more sort of London in a sense. But the reason for doing it and the reason for Gymbox and why it is still different is look, when you look at any gym around the world, if you say the majority of the audience in that gym, let's just say, I mean, obviously there's everyone goes there, but the majority sit between that age range of say, let's say 20 and 40. What we wanted to do was create a brand that spoke basically the language of a 20 to 40 year old Londoner. So rather than trying to appeal to everyone, we took a target audience and said, right, we're going to create this brand around that. So you're either going to love it or you hate it, but that's what it stands for, because we're targeting an audience which is basically what we felt was the majority of any gym audience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, like I said, the gyms at that stage were very vanilla. It was like you could go in there, they played classical music in the changing rooms. It was, like I said, white walls, shiny floors, very kind of routine sort of classes and fitness all following the same way. And we took our view of saying, well, no, let's create these gyms. We'll have almost boutique areas. So, you know, if you're into weightlifting, we'll do weightlifting properly in certain areas. If you're interested in sort of bodybuilding, we create those areas especially. Combat, you know, we have dedicated areas for Brazilian jiu-jitsu, boxing areas. And we wanted to bring those clubs within inside the gym because, you know, gyms can't. Boxing clubs like a boxing club teaches them. So bring those clubs inside. And I think that's what resonated with our audience. So, you know, it wasn't, you know, we just didn't open gyms and just put equipment on the floor. We thought about the communities that we could bring into those clubs as well. And that's what's kept them going for years because they feel part of those communities.
Right, right. So, you know, just to go back to our topic, because the topic is the future of fitness looking past COVID-19, which is, I think, very relevant and difficult subject for gyms. So if you could tell, in your opinion, what are the creative ways a fitness business are approaching life in this COVID landscape? How do you cope and what are the new ways of dealing with it?
Well, yeah, I mean, it has been, look, you know, it's the COVID has been sort of quite hard on the hospitality and fitness market, you know, and, you know, certainly our clubs, which are situated in the centre of London, you know, we're as successful as the people working in the area. So we've got to encourage people to come back into those gym spaces. And I think that we're fairly well positioned for that because, like I said, it's community led. And I think that, you know, what people do, there is burnout from training at home from a lot of individuals. They want that community around them. So I think that the way that we're trying to do it is we're trying to sort of like build on all of that social aspect that goes on within our gyms, you know, creating things and communities that people just want to get back and get involved in. So I think that's the target for us. You know, we're also expanding our at home sort of offering through our digital channels as well for people that do still want to be engaged with Gymbox and train at home. So we are expanding on that side of things. But like I said, we're trying to also encourage people back into the space, and we're doing that mainly through our social and our community led sort of programs.
Yeah, definitely, because, you know, what I experienced at Gymbox is that, as you mentioned, strong community feeling. So it's very much like you come to a class, certain classes, and you can see that people are already coming there regularly. They prepare for something, for example, Hyrox or CrossFit. You can see those little communities. So I think that's what people are missing. For example, myself is the same with boxing. You can train at home as much as you want, but it's never the same as when you go meet your team, coach, and you do it together.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that, look, I think at home training as well, I think, you know, there's much more now of there's a bit of everything kind of attitude for a lot of people as well. I mean, look, fitness is you know, it has come on hugely over the last 10 years. People are so much more educated in terms of their sort of holistic health as well as their physical health. So I think, you know, there's a bit of everything. So, you know, community plays a huge part of it. Home training, people are doing bits and pieces at home. So we're just making sure that what the gym box touch points covers all of those spaces.
Mm-hmm. So do you think COVID permanently has changed the fitness industry? You know, my research, little research that I've done shows that gyms and fitness will be back to kind of where it was between 2024, 2025. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I like to think the same, you know, same as you. I mean, I genuinely think they will. I think we're quite well positioned for this because we set out as a brand to, you know, we have a kind of a younger demographic in terms of, you know, and we are, gym boxes are almost built for those people on their next stage of their fitness sort of ladder as well, because, you know, of how we equip these clubs and the communities that we build. So, you know, if we're saying that our target audience sits between that 20 to 40 year old, they are the ones that are sort of more wanting to get back into these sort of communities and back into, they're the, you know, they're braver, they're more competitive. So we are well positioned for this side of things. But then on the flip side, you know, gyms have to be convenient. So, mm-hmm. You know, if people sort of go back to a 3 days at home, 2 days at work, and gyms are not as convenient to get to, that will affect us. But my gut feeling is that people do miss that community, even being at work, and that social aspect. So I do feel that gyms will come back long term. It's just that gyms have to focus on, like I said, like, you know, being a community, a bit like a climbing club does. If you go to a climbing club, there's people been there for 20 years and they will never leave that community. And I think that's the big part that we need to play on to make sure people come back.
Mm-hmm. Just the patience, basically, and consistency, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel the same. It's just that time now that we have to wait until everything goes back to what it was, or even better. So, you know, that online platform that you mentioned, can you tell us more about it? How does that look? I know there is actually the audience is quite worldwide. You know, it's not just UK. Actually, Gymbox has been already recognized abroad. Can you tell us more about it?
Yeah, when you say recognize abroad, do you mean in terms of the brand recognition?
In terms of people actually joining from different countries, you know, and you spreading your wings out there too.
Yeah, I think, look, you know, personally, I've always felt, you know, Gymbox could be an international brand. I don't think, you know, I think that what the brand stands for and how we, and what it relates in terms of how we do fitness, I think it has an international sort of appeal to it. So look, you know, ultimately what we've tried to done is we've tried to make exercise fun, and we've also, you know, our tone of voice, our sense of humor, you know, but at the heart, we do things really, really credible. And I think that resonates across the world. So I think, you know, that, you know, I would love a long-term plan to see this not just in London, but outside of the UK, because I think that, you know, I think everyone in terms of fitness and the, you know, mentality towards fitness is the same wherever you go. I think it's, we have to look commercially at it, you know, and choose the right territories to go into to expand that. But definitely it's a brand that could travel.
So what fitness businesses should do during the corona outbreak? What's your point of view?
Well, I think, you know, what we had to do is, you know, to keep our audience, we had to sort of shift very quickly to online. So, you know, what we had to do through these lockdowns, I think, you know, we there's an argument to say we were pretty slow at doing this because we so much concentrated on the physical clubs, is, you know, creating content that if you are go back lockdowns and things like that, you are still engaging your audience. You know, I would say that we are very well known for our group fitness products. So making sure that people can have access to that side of things. And I also think that, you know, in keeping good communication with the members. And the other thing that, you know, we did never sat on our laurels kind of during the lockdown is we used it as an opportunity to go through the business and have a look at all these different areas that we can enhance the products. And we're obviously now coming out of lockdown. We're now all of that work that we put in during this period, we're actually starting now to starting to see fruition, and we're starting to now change all the clubs, move the product forward. So I think that's sort of really what I would say is good communication skills, engage with your members, keep the brand strong, but also, you know, don't sit still. You know, it's fitness is moving so fast, you know, bring in the right kind of individuals to help you move that business on quickly.
You know, when we got those news on lockdown, what was the first thought of yours and the gyms being closed? What came to your head? What was the first impulse?
You're asking the wrong person. I thought it would all be over by May. So I couldn't believe it. But, you know, I mean, who would have thought in this, you know, that the whole world was a stop? So, you know, I had my sort of hands over my eyes a little bit because I just didn't anticipate it being this long. But then obviously when you suddenly realize the severity of it, you know, that is when, that's when you obviously just have to sort of like action and put all these things that we've discussed. So, you know, as well as it's being devastating to the fitness industry, but it's also given us all a chance to really sit back and look at products, look at communication, look at tech, and look at the ways that we can sort of like be prepared for this better if it does happen again. So, you know, I think that's my answer really to that side of things.
And if you can tell us, how did you adjust the gyms to, you know, the business during the COVID? So we're still in this COVID pandemic. How gyms, what's the difference between previous gym and now in terms of space, in terms of equipment?
So, well, I mean, obviously, you know, once we got the okay to open, I mean, gyms, I think, because I was on all of these sort of calls with sort of the rest of the gym operators, and we did lots of things for government in terms of recording, in terms of COVID cases, etc. But what the gyms did was pretty amazing, and they put in procedures which I think were better than most other industries. So we had to sort of do everything from we had, obviously, you had to book your space into the gyms. We had cleaning routines, which were scheduled literally every hour for cleaning. There was temperature checks at receptions. There was lots of monitoring going on. So we had to put all of these things in place to make, A, the members feel secure, but also, very importantly, make our staff feel secure as well. So we've had to do all of that stuff. Now, some of that's bled through to reopening as well, because in terms of spacing equipment and allowing more space around some of the sort of physical pieces of kit, we've tried to keep. I mean, obviously, with things opening up a little bit, it just means you don't have to book your space so much. But obviously, yeah, massive changes sort of during the COVID and the reopening program. But as the UK now is coming back, is the gym spaces are opening up slightly. But I think some of the things in terms of, you know, how people now look at kit in terms of hygienically wiping it down, that sort of stuff there is in for good now. So it has made positive changes for the fitness industry. And I think those things are here to stay.
Do you think the way people exercise now inside the studios or gyms has changed?
I don't know. I'm not so sure. In, you know, obviously, I think people's attitude towards cleanliness and making sure that has definitely changed without any shadow of doubt. And same as, you know, operators' attitudes to making sure that, you know, they invest so much more now in terms of keeping facilities clean and tidy and operating like that much more. I mean, they've always were very good anyway, but they've just enhanced that. So I think that's changed. Has people's attitudes towards fitness changed? I think yes. I think people have become more educated towards exercise. And what I'm saying that is, you know, in terms of sort of holistic health, it's not just about your physical health. I mean, people now are sort of much more involved with mental health, mindfulness, immunity building sort of things, which is so, you know, I think our athletes in our gyms nowadays have such more of a holistic approach towards exercise, mm-hmm. you know, than they sort of did pre. So, you know, you can talk to them now about, you know, the benefits of nasal breathing, cold water therapy. You can talk to them about all of these aspects of fitness, which you weren't talking so much about pre-pandemic.
Okay. Yeah, I think even just the regular gym member is now way, way more educated and aware of everything that is happening mentally and physically with his or her body. And that's why we have this show, and that's why we have people like yourself on the show to talk about this mental and physical aspect of exercising. So if you could actually touch up more about it from your own perspective, how does exercising influence your own personal mental health?
You know, I've always taken the view, I mean, you know, sort of exercise for me was always kind of my relaxation time. It was my chance to get away, train and have nothing else on my mind, you know, but training and exercising. And that for me was, you know, it was a fantastic mental break. I think, you know, from a personal standpoint, you know, my fitness has changed. Obviously, you know, when I was boxing, it was basically all out training, and there was no thought put in terms of you know, flexibility, movement, mental health, mindfulness. So, from a personal standpoint, you know, my training now, you know, involves, you know, Sundays outside doing cold water swimming. It involves a lot more sort of movement sort of classes, you know, whether that is yoga, prehab, rehab style of classes. I still do the strength work, and I'm still very, very conscious of making sure that, you know, my engine now, you know, in terms of, you know, how I breathe when I do my cardio, etc. So, you know, for my aspect is I've become so much more holistic in my approach to fitness than I was previously. You know, and also everything I do as well, you know, I think it's, you know, I hate to say this, is obviously, you know, being involved in fitness and gyms, but I think, you know, you're getting outside of the four walls of the gym space and making sure what you do inside the gym space enhances what you do outside the gym space is very, very important as well. You know, and having sort of like activities that you do, sort of passion projects and things you do, and the gym enhances those, you know, whether you're taking up cycling for the first time, going climbing, going kayaking, going walking. And I think that, I think that joined up holistic approach for me is definitely much more advanced now than it was ever before.
Right. So do you think just being more mature about your fitness is the reason why you took more of a holistic approach? Because, you know, when we're young, we just want to hit the gym, hit the back, sweat a lot, just release that and anger, testosterone, whatever you want to call it. So do you think more of an experience, maturity has something to do with that holistic experience?
And Listen, I think it has. I mean, you know, I think that from a personal standpoint, but even so, you know, I think the education now from a Gen Z or a millennial, etc., now towards fitness is much better than it ever was. So, you know, if you look at the way, I look at, you know, sort of, you know, games athlete CrossFitters will do as much now in terms of mental health, relaxation, as you know, while myself in my 20s, just those sort of things just didn't occur. You know, spending enough time working on movement, flexibility, that, you know, the sort of 20-year-olds nowadays have a much better education towards that. You know, when I started, you know, good example is, I know it's popular with Wim Hof and everything, but when I started cold water swimming, it was basically just loads of old dudes going swimming in the morning. You go there now and it's a complete change in audience. It's a younger crowd who understand things like the benefits of that. You know, if you go to now our yoga classes, you have, you know, Olympic weightlifters doing as much in a yoga class now. So, you know, I think it's, yes, from a personal level, but also I just think everyone now is just more educated to an overall fitness program rather than just being focused on one element of it.
Mm-hmm. You just mentioned that cold swimming, you know, back home, which is Poland, this is super, super famous thing. But just like you mentioned, mainly older and actually a little chubbier people tend to do it. You know, I've seen you in person and obviously I know that you're in shape and all of that. So can you tell us where the interest came from, why the cold water swimming, and what is it about it that actually you've decided to do that and not something else?
Oh, you know, it's just one element of the training. So it's, you know, it became popular through, obviously, like I said, through this Dutch guy called Wim Hof, but just showing the benefits in terms of what it has in terms of inflammation in the body, you know, immunity, how you can build immunity to that. So it's just one of those tools that I was using to try and enhance the way that my overall exercise. So, you know, as I was getting older, more inflammation I was suffering from. So I wanted to just trial it and to see if that helped. And then it would obviously benefit what I did inside the gym. So it was just an element of what I did. And, you know, a lot of it came from the sudden, you know, like I said, this Wim Hof, which suddenly got a huge amount of popularity a couple of years ago.
But does that really work? Because, you know, we know that, for example, it's huge, that the ice baths are huge within NFL training. And I've been advised to do that. For some reason, when you tell me a cold shower or ice bath, I'm just running as far as I can. I'm just, I don't know, not the type of person that would enjoy that. So what is it about it? Or if you know any physical scientifically proven benefits to it, is there, how that idea of it brought you into doing this? Because I cannot even think about it.
You know what, there is, I mean, from a personal element, there's just the challenge element of it for me is, could I get all of the winter, you know, doing this? Could I last more than a couple of minutes in 6 degrees of water? I think there was a challenge aspect of it that just, you know, that runs through my, that I just wanted to try and do that side of things. In terms of the benefits, you know, there are huge amounts of benefits from it. I think you can go online and read about it. But I think what played on me was, you know, it was painful. I mean, God, anyone who does it will tell you it's, you know, jumping in there and lasting in there, it's painful.
I mean, I just see people with huge smiles and I'm like, always like, why are they happy and what are they smiling about? I would be terrified.
You know, like, what?
At home, it's so famous. People do it all the time.
I think it's it's the health benefits, but I think also it's the challenge, you know, to say that you've done it. You know, it's because when you talk to people like yourself and you go, what the hell are you doing that for? You can tell them. And I think there's probably, there's a sly smile on your face to say that you've done it. So, you know, I went to Scandinavia to break the ice and jump in it and all that sort of stuff. I think it's just the challenge aspect for me more than anything else. And the health benefits are an added extra.
Because I know when I trained in America, and that was, I stayed there for quite a while, I've been forced and pushed to do those ice baths, and I know they do help. They really do, because I have terrible knees, so inflammation is all the time in my bodies. So they have extreme, extreme benefits. And like I said, the biggest sport in the world, which is American football, they do this on a regular basis. It's like bread and butter to them. So I was just always thinking, like, damn, I wish to have that mentality and just that will to do it so easily. But definitely that is something that I should look into more. So I actually admire you for doing that and then having fun with it.
It's just a cheaper way of doing cryotherapy. That's what it is.
Cheaper way, yeah, true, true. Because the capsules right now are very, very famous around London. The temperature there is very, very low, and it apparently is extremely beneficial to your body.
Yeah.
So do you think, a few last questions, gyms are slowly going away, or do you think that's never going to happen? Do you think the home workouts and the platforms will take over?
No, I think there's definitely room for both. I think the UK is slightly more difficult because, you know, real estate in the UK, we don't have massive garages. If you look at London, for example, so, you know, where people maybe, you know, want to build a garage gym, they just do not have the space to be able to do it. You know, do I think that home training will continue to increase? Yes, I do. I think, you know, because I think people now are much more educated. They know how to program their exercise. So, you know, providing they have the space and they can kit out a gym well enough, then that will continue to grow. But on the other side as well, I don't think gyms are going away, because gyms are phenomenal for that community social aspect. So people do like training around people. You know, I spoke to a huge amount of people that were, when lockdown started, you know, they were very committed to their training at home. But by sort of halfway through this lockdown, there was a huge amount of burnout, which wouldn't have normally happened if they were with their friends, family, etc., training in gyms. So I think there's, you know, I think both are going to continue to grow. I think, you know, gyms very much from that community aspect. And as people now are becoming, like I said, more educated, I think tech is getting so much better for the online market. The at-home market. So I think that, you know, both will continue to grow.
Mm-hmm. So what are the future plans for Gymbox, for David Cooper? If you can share us, what is the future holds for you guys?
Yeah, I think, look, there is a at the moment, there is that kind of sort of, well, now we're opening up that kind of post sort of COVID settling down process. So I think we have to concentrate on the current estate that we have and try and build that back up now that people are starting to come back to work. So I think that's the early stages. The long-term stage for Gymbox was always a brand that we felt could roll out. And like we talked on sort of earlier, you know, could we see this as an international brand moving forward? Absolutely. You know, I think, you know, there are different elements of fitness that we can sort of concentrate on. You know, I think sort of that working space within gyms is becoming better because dwell time in gyms is becoming bigger. So, you know, we may look at things like that moving forward. I think it's, you know, the future is looking very, very good. I think there's going to be a pause while we just wait till everyone sort of comes back. And then I think it's to drive the brand forward and look at opportunities, not just say within London, but also outside of the UK.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can tell definitely from the experience that Gymbox always look for new classes, like, for example, some skating classes right now, or the I don't even know how you call it, but people are training in this like the real boxing sweatsuits. I found it fascinating how you're finding new ideas to incorporate that fun and then the real world of training into studio. So I think that's what is bringing a lot of crowd in, that fun aspect, that great marketing that you guys doing, beautiful ad campaigns. So I cannot even think what other classes you can guys think of, because pretty much everything is in there that you want. Even Ari.
Yeah, I think that, you know, we owe a lot to the people that work with inside us. You know, we have a huge bunch of creative people, which is really important for our business. You know, yes, we have this unique sort of brand experience, tone of voice, you know, the fun element. But then from the studio and the group fitness product is really good, creative, credible sort of master trainers, etc., who create these classes. You know, again, you know, we didn't just want to be a brand that just ran everyone else's classes. You know, we felt that, you know, we wanted to create classes that were fun, entertaining, credible, all that sort of mad mix together, which I think what's still sort of, you know, sets us apart from a lot of our competition is our group fitness product is definitely more varied than majority of others. And I think it really resonates with people.
Definitely, definitely. The variety is huge, variety of also trainers. So you have different type of people that, you know, some people might like them, some people might not, but then that's the beauty that you have option and always a choice. So I think that's why a lot of people can relate to a brand, because if I don't like one class or one trainer, then I can always choose another person, but you don't discriminate no one for being who they are. So I think that the freedom of self-expression as a worker and as your member, I think it's the big thing, that big part of the brand that makes it so friendly and successful.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, if the ideology that we created around Gymbox was for everything, it was anything goes, was still the original tagline. And for us, ultimately, you know, it's about just creating an environment where it's all about an attitude. You bring that attitude into the gym, it's for everyone. And I think that's since we opened in 2003, that's always flowed through. And I think it's, you know, it's a real sort of hive of activity, but where everyone feels at home and everyone feels entertained. And I think that's kind of worked well for us.
Mm-hmm. So any last words of your wisdom, David, something to share where people can find you, connect with you or Gymbox, how they can found the brand?
So, no, I mean, look, you know, I think we've probably covered majority of it, obviously, from this call. I think, look, if people want to engage with the brand, it's very, very good to do that through our social channels, because that's where the community lives. You know, you can go to a website and you can see, you know, you can see the brand, but to see how that community lives, you know, all of the fun that goes on, all of the things that we get involved in. You know, if they want to engage with Gymbox, it's very, very sort of good to go through our social channels to get that experience. If you're in London, please come and visit us, you know, and try for yourself. You know, you can pay as a guest to come into the gyms and experience it. I just think that, look, obviously, I think we created something quite unique. And, you know, I think we've been able to never sit still every single year. We've tried to change the product and change the products. And I think that that's part of our success. The only thing I'll leave you with is, if you are sort of running a gym, just don't think you can open a gym space and that's it, and just renew the, you know, maybe the equipment every so often. Fitness is changing at such a fast rate. You've got to be prepared to reinvest into that space consistently and change it to make it credible.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much, David, for taking some time out of your busy schedule. Thank you for sharing your experience and knowledge about it. I think it's very beneficial. And yeah, thank you again. And I will see you soon, and have a lovely day.
Thank you. Thank you for thanks for talking. Cheers.
Thank you. Bye-bye, David. Bye-bye. Okay, team, and now it's time for our short workout together. So today's workout will be all about your abdominals, your abs, your obliques, basically core workout. We're going to work for 45 seconds. You're going to have 15 seconds of your rest time, recovery time. We have three exercises that we will repeat three times. Make sure you do take 1 minute break in between those sets. All right, team. So let's start. Exercise number one, we're going to go for toe touch. So as the name states, you're going to touch your toes. You want to extend your arms. You're going to lie flat, legs all the way up. Try to keep your legs as straight as possible. So don't bend your knees too much. Okay. And now we're going to try to touch our toes. Touch your toes all the way up. Breathe out on the top. Breathe in on the bottom. And again,
Breathe out on top, breathe in on the bottom. And again, keep touching those toes for 45 seconds, team. Then you're going to take your 15-second break rest time. Number two, exercise number two, it's a Russian twist. So you're going to sit in a V shape. Make sure your back is flat, chest forward, chin up. Squeeze your shoulder blades, engage your core. Legs up, easier version, you can keep your heels on the floor. More advanced version, keep your legs off the floor, heels off the floor. Bend your knees and you're gonna rotate your torso. Touch side, touch the other side. Hands can touch the floor or you can keep it in the air. And rotate, twist, left, right, and keep breathing. Breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. If the explanation is not clear enough, you always can visit my Instagram, fitnesswithnk, to see how the exercise should look like. Number three, team, we're going to go for single leg touch. So you're going back to the same position as for your toe touches. You're lying flat. Keep your legs on the floor. Keep your arm fully extended behind your head. You're going to touch left leg to your right hand and opposite. Touch and touch. Again, keep your arms straight. Keep your legs as straight as possible. Try to avoid bending your elbows and bending your knees. Please, please, please do make sure that you breathe all the time. So touch, breathe out, release, breathe in, and touch, breathe out, release, and keep going. 45 seconds, team. Again, if something is unclear, please make sure you go to my Instagram to see this workout. All right, team. And so we've done our three exercises: toe touches, Russian twist, and single leg touch. Now we're taking 1 full minute of your rest time. You can drink some water, you can walk it out, and then we're starting the same three exercises all over again. After block number two, you again gonna take 1 minute break and start your block number three. Great, team, great. So in this case, we have 9 minutes of your work with a break, 12 minutes. Easy, very easy workout to do at home in any sort of environment. You can always find a mat, go on the floor and try to give your core, your abs, your obliques that extra push. 10 minutes on a day. Trust me, very, very much needed for your core. Please make sure you tag me in your workouts. If you have your version of your workout, always upload it. Make sure you tag me. I want to see how you're doing, how you coping with this particular workout. Thank you so much for joining in and doing this workout. If you're interested in more free workouts, please make sure you visit my website, www.nataliakotowska.com. See you next time, team. The COVID-19 pandemic hit the fitness industry hard, in large part due to its dependence on in-person facilities. But it's also greatly accelerated the inroads that were already being made by digital fitness concepts. So while it might take until 2023 or even 2024, the industry, it will not only recover from COVID-19, but it will offer numerous attractive investment opportunities along the way. So get ready for the rebound. I hope you did enjoy today's episode as well as our short workout together. Share with me your thoughts, comments, DM me with your life stories. If you have any questions or you would like me to talk about any particular subject, please contact me. Follow me on Instagram, fitnesswithnk, where you can leave your message, and make sure you visit my website, www.nataliakotowska, for more information. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for listening, and I will see you next time.